Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Meg Robinson.
On our last podcast, we introduced the topic of tips for reaching the lost. It was a question that came in from harvesters. Can you give us some advice and help on that? And we did that. And I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast, to go back to that one, because it sets the stage for what we're going to talk about today. We spoke a lot about relationships and building relationships with non-Christians. We talked about being just one link in a chain, and we're going to pick up there. But before we go back into that specific topic, I want to talk a little bit about some resources that are helpful. Let me start by mentioning two. They're oldies but goodies. They're classics. Rebecca Pippert wrote a book called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. She and her husband have traveled all over the world doing evangelism and evangelism training and have been very much used by God in this area. Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, just a very, very helpful book for any Christian who wants to get out of the salt shaker, right, and get in touch. And it comes from Matthew 5 when it says, Jesus says, you're the salt of the world. But if the salt stays in the salt shaker and never gets in contact with the meat, it can't make any difference. And so if Christians are removed, then there certainly won't be any impact. She also wrote a little booklet that I'm about to read called Talking About Jesus Without Sounding Religious. And I think that's important. Sometimes people have these expectations about Christianity, and we use religious language that some normal people can't connect with. So that's a good one. Also, Joe Aldrich wrote a book called Lifestyle Evangelism. I think those are very, very helpful things. And one other one I would mention is the Summit Church up in the Raleigh-Durham area has created this emphasis called Who's Your One? And if you just look up Who's Your One, you Google that, there's some resources and videos that they have that provides training. Scott, how about you? What resources would you recommend?
I think two, maybe within the past few years, newer ones. Real Life Discipleship was one. And in particular, there's a book and then there's a workbook. I would say work through the workbook, because as you're thinking about those who are unbelievers in your life, it really, it takes a full week, and it walks you through helping identify who some of those are, and it also helps you just come up with some ideas of how you can reach out. So Real Life Discipleship. Also, there's a book, and the book's kind of really all about hospitality, and it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And listen to the definition of what they would say hospitality is. It says, radical, ordinary hospitality is this: using your Christian home in a daily way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors family of God. I'd recommend this resource. My wife is all over it. I remember her mentioning it about a year and a half ago or so, right around that time. And it's all about using what God has given you as a place to really minister and to love people where they're at and to reach them for Christ. So those are two resources.
All right. Let's pick up on the topic of friendships with unbelievers and how to develop them. And an interesting point came up out of the last discussion, and that is, this is really just taking advantage of our natural rhythms. This isn't necessarily going out and adding 18 new things to our schedule, but it's just whatever we do in natural rhythms, look for ways that God can use it and develop relationships with unbelievers. How have you seen that happen, Scott, in your life?
I've seen it a lot with my kids' sports. So my kids are involved in sports. We go to the same practices week after week, see a lot of the same people. And I don't have to, so if I'm looking to just engage people that don't know Christ, I that's one of my natural rhythms. I've got to take my kids to practice. oftentimes I have to sit through practice. And so it's a natural place for me to just kind of try to see what Jesus is up to. I know Jesus desires for lost people to know him. And so that's kind of where I start and where I begin. What's in my natural rhythm of life that I don't have to, because I've got to be there, to try to reach Christ. So that's one example.
Yeah, that's a good one. After the last podcast, we had a conversation with somebody whom God has used in her neighborhood and other places with unbelievers. And yet she said, you know, sometimes, even though that has happened in the past, sometimes I have a hard time stepping out of my comfort zone. And I think that's just a good reminder for us that it's almost the other side of the natural rhythms. It doesn't mean it takes away from that point, but it means that we pray, we walk with God, we ask him to help us to indeed step out of our comfort zones. Because sometimes the easiest thing to do is to hibernate. And after, you know, a long day at work or a long week or a long season, we all have our own issues, and it's easy just to completely withdraw. And I think it's important to step out of our comfort zones. One, some people call it just walking across the street, seeing what that neighbor, what's up with that neighbor, and those things go a long way, I think.
Yeah, and stepping out of your comfort zone, SOMA, maybe you're familiar with them. If you've never heard of SOMA, they're a group of churches. They're also involved in church planting and a lot of different things like that. But one of the questions in their training, I remember attending one of their conferences along these lines, and it was really talking about reaching unbelievers. And the question that they like to ask, and I'll never forget this question, I've tried to use it, so just on a, and it reminds me of stepping out of your comfort, it's, as they're praying and seeking God, God, how do you want to use me? They would always, they phrase this, they encourage their people to use this question, Holy Spirit, what's next? What do you want me to do next? What's the practical next thing? And really engaging with God and asking those kind of simple questions were, it was very peculiar to me, but I think very practical, because I do wonder if God is primarily leading us to step out of our comfort zone. What's next, Holy Spirit? Asking that question. And I remember hearing the testimony of a gentleman who, he would take his grill and put it in the back of his house. Well, when he asked the Lord that question, or he asked the Holy Spirit that question, he said he felt like the Holy Spirit, in only the way the Holy Spirit can, encourage him to take the grill from the back of the house to the front driveway. And he did that. And as he did that, he said the next thing you know, he started to invite some neighbors, and they started grilling out. And believe it or not, people on his cul-de-sac or in his cul-de-sac came to Christ as a result of that small act. And so, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And he said, you know, from a comfort standpoint, he said he liked to come home, because, you know, when you go out back, you got your fence, you know, most people have fences, or a lot of do, you know, you're kind of in your own little isolated area. You don't have to worry about nobody bothering. But when you put your grill out front and then you start knocking on doors and inviting people to come over, it's a whole nother dynamic. So, Holy Spirit, what's next? I just remember hearing that, and it's been impactful
for me.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Let's think about this. So as you're building relationships with people and you're wanting them, you're wanting to have spiritual conversations with them, how do you bridge that gap? Because sometimes that is the hardest spot, it seems like. Okay, now they like me, they know me, but am I going to offend them, or are they going to think I'm weird? Is it going to cut off our relationship? So let's think that through in our closing segment, closing minutes of this segment, rather. So Scott, what would you say that might be helpful in terms of maybe turning the conversation to spiritual things?
Yeah. With all honesty, I think we live in a culture, especially Generation Z, even millennials, if we're going to do that, just do it in a genuine way. I think people can smell when they're being set up, you know. So that's just it. Be genuine about it. I mean, as a Christian, you really want people to know your Savior. And so, you know, sometimes I think we can over, you know, we can do a whole lot of calculations in our head. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? I don't want nobody to be mad at me, yada, yada. But I think when you're genuinely, if you genuinely care about somebody and what we know about Jesus and humanity's need for Jesus, I just say, be yourself and be genuine about it. You know, you don't have to. Now, there's some wisdom and is it right time, right place, right moment in the conversation? I get all that, but I think if you're genuine, you genuinely care for people, I think that comes through in the relationship.
You know, as I hear you say that, I think about something you said on the earlier podcast that you used the word relax. And I think that is so important because sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves. Oh, am I going to say the right thing? Yeah. And I think a genuine expression of concern for them. I think about a neighbor that I had that I several years ago built a relationship with, and he lives in another state now. And you know, he's a great guy, and we were having a relationship, just, you know, first very casual in the cul-de-sac kind of relationship, but then over time, we started hanging out with them more and going to birthday parties together and this and that. And he knew I was a Christian. He knew what I did for a living. But we hadn't crossed that bridge to ever talk to him about himself. And I thought about it and prayed about it. And just one day, I just said some really affirming things to him about himself, about what kind of, you know, awesome person I thought he was. And yet, there was something in my life that was very, very special that I'd never talked to you about. It's just a relationship with Christ. And I'd love sometime just to sit down and talk to you about that, about what he has done for me, and you know what that might mean to you, if that's something you'd be interested in. Well, as it turned out, he was interested, and we were able to have many conversations about that, and to God's glory, he did profess faith in Christ. So, and my point, and I wasn't really planning to say that, but when you said your statement a minute ago, it reminded me that we don't need to put the pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Just some genuine expression like that.
And I know for me, when I think about wanting to tell others about Jesus, especially those that are around me that I've seen, that I know, I wrestle a lot with fear, and I guess most of us do. I think all of us do. And really, when we fear man more than we fear God, you know, if I care about someone and I really have the cure for their eternal destiny being with Jesus or not being with Jesus, you know, heaven and hell, when I fear what they think of me, or I fear whether they're going to like me, or if I'm going to mess up, or if I'm not going to say it right, I think that's understandable because we all go through that. But I want to just say to us, let's put that in check, because when we fear man more than we fear God, it really is dangerous, you know? It really is dangerous. And so fear can keep us, and the fear of man is dangerous. And I think we should fear God more than we should fear man. And as we think rightly about who God is and what the gospel is, it really frees us up to love people genuinely and to tell them the good news of Jesus, because we have good news.
Yeah, that's a good word. I have those same fears. And I think when I'm afraid of speaking to someone, I'm not really looking at God in that moment. Yeah. I'm looking at myself or at them. And if we can just put our focus on God and speak something from the heart, he's going to use it. And I have also found, and I'm sure many have found, once you initially bring that conversation up, in many ways it becomes downhill from there, because it's the door's open and then you've crossed that bridge. And so I encourage you to do that, and hopefully this will help you. Scott, you got the last word.
Well, thanks for giving me the last word. We can, I think, expect the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus to lead us to places where we have to crucify our flesh and we have to step out to places of uncomfortability. But the good thing is, as he says in Matthew 28, he said, I am with you always. You know, right there in the context of go make disciples, that affirming word in verse 20, I am with you always. So he's with us. And as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him to where he's leading us, we know that he's with us. So hopefully that's a good last word.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out about how you can donate to support the podcast.